Lake Effect brings you conversations about what's happening in Milwaukee and the people, places, and organizations that shape our community. This is Lake Effect Spotlight from WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR.
Democrats are hoping to rebound from losing the presidential race last month. And Wisconsin Democratic Party Chair Ben Wickler says he's the right person to lead the party's efforts across the nation. Wickler is one of at least four candidates running to be the chair of the Democratic National Committee. The election is scheduled for February 1st. WUWM's Chuck Kornbach is joined by Wickler to find out why he's running and what he hopes to achieve.
I'm running for chair of the Democratic National Committee because to defeat MAGA and the far-right billionaires who want to rig the country for Trump and his friends, we have to unite the Democratic Party. We have to fight everywhere and on every platform in every state year-round, as we have done in Wisconsin. And if we do that, we will win more elections in more places and have the chance to deliver for working families no matter where they live or what they look like.
How are you going to help transform Democratic messaging, maybe to focus on at least what some polling says voters showed they were more concerned about, for example, the economy, still important, but a little bit less on abortion rights?
Well, we know that voters will give a serious look at a candidate if they feel like that candidate is on their side. And right now, a lot of Democrats get their news about Democrats from Republicans. Republicans are communicating in more places more of the time than Democrats are. And there are folks who voted for change who don't trust either party, who didn't hear either party's message in this election. So what that means for Democrats is that we need to show up in places that are not centrally about politics. We need to reach out to voters who are not watching political news, and we need to go on hostile territory and make our case. No one else is going to make it for us. My view is that when Democrats say what they're for fighting for working families and for the freedom that everyone deserves as Americans, this should be our birthright, that those are winning messages. We just need to make sure people actually hear them.
Do you anticipate more focused messages about the economy or holding down prices, reducing prices?
Well, we know Trump's first priority as president, which is a multi-trillion dollar tax cut for billionaires. That is on the legislative agenda next year. And every Democrat across all the different types of folks who make up this Big Ten party, we all oppose that. We think the economy should work for working people, not as a vehicle to distribute wealth up to those at the very, very top. So I think that's a big uniting fight that is going to make clear whose side we're on and whose side the GOP is on. And when you fight a fight, it shows your values, who you're for, what you're about. That is the way that we win, is by fighting the battles that make clear that we're on the side of working folks across this country and across the state, and we're not trying to rig the country for the far-right billionaire special interests that dominate the incoming Trump administration.
Is there room for tax cuts for the middle class and lower-income folks?
Democrats have delivered tax cuts for the middle class, for lower-income folks, and you can do that by ensuring that the ultra-wealthy pay their fair share. The Republicans want to do the reverse. They want to stick middle-class families and working families with the bill in order to give tax cuts to the super rich. And for Democrats, this is a core uniting value that we need to demonstrate is a central part of what our work in politics is all about. And I think we're going to be able to do that, and it's going to help us to win elections all over the country, all over the state of Wisconsin, and everywhere else in these next 4 years.
If you're elected DNC chair, what would be sort of a day one goal for you or day one announcement?
Day one, we start building the strategy for a year-round permanent campaign across the country. And let me explain what I mean by that. In our state of Wisconsin, we finished the 2024 election and immediately started working to ensure that Susan Crawford wins the state Supreme Court race on April 1st of 2025. We're gearing up for an organizing push around that race right now, and that'll affect the future of freedom, of dignity, of all the things that we care about. For working folks across the state of Wisconsin, defeating Brad Schimmel is essential. And there are fights like that in every state, but they don't get the national spotlight. They don't get the kind of intensity and support that in Wisconsin we know is essential to winning races like the April 1st Supreme Court race. And that work to build up that permanent campaign infrastructure, it has to start right away.
There's been a lot of success for Democrats in Wisconsin as you've been state chair. But, you know, how much of that is attributable to you and how much to, you know, pretty good candidates like Tony Evers, Tammy Baldwin, and Janet Protasiewicz?
Winning elections starts with having amazing candidates, and we are so lucky to have champions and public servants like the governor and Governor Evers, Senator Baldwin, the Supreme Court justices. And you need to organize and communicate everywhere to ensure that voters hear about how great those candidates are. And we've built a mighty campaign infrastructure in every corner of Wisconsin that helps with all the races that come along and plays a critical role in partnership with our allies and the full coalition. That's the approach that we should have at the Democratic National Committee, too, to have the kind of infrastructure that allows us to fight and win elections and lift up the amazing candidates who run for office in every geography, in every community across the United States. That's the reason I'm running for DNC chair, because I've seen what works in Wisconsin, and I know that even if each race in each place is a little bit different, being in the fight makes a difference everywhere.
A couple of questions I know you've been asked before, and I want to give you the chance to maybe go in more depth than I've seen. Why did Kamala Harris lose Wisconsin while Tammy Baldwin won? Did the Harris campaign do enough in Wisconsin?
The Harris campaign prioritized Wisconsin from day one, which I'm so grateful for. They, working with our state party, with the coordinated campaign on the ground, tens of thousands of volunteers, turned out more voters for Harris than Biden had won in 2020 in a huge year. There were even more people who turned out for Donald Trump. The shift in Wisconsin towards Trump was smaller than any other battleground state, smaller than almost any state in the country. And some folks who turned out for Trump, they did not vote down ballot because Republicans didn't run the kind of coordinated campaign to make sure that a rising tide lifted all boats. So Tammy Baldwin had about the same number of votes as Kamala Harris, just a few thousand more, but Eric Hovde had way fewer votes than Donald Trump. And that is how you win a U.S. Senate race, thanks to the strength of our integrated permanent campaign approach in Wisconsin, while Republicans won the top of the ticket, but then lost the Senate race that I think they were counting on winning.
Still, despite your efforts, Harris did lose Wisconsin. Shouldn't the next DNC chair come from a state Democrats just won in the presidential race?
To me, what you look at in a fight is what worked and what needs to change. If you look across the country, you'll find that almost every state shifted towards Trump more than Wisconsin. We had one of the smallest shifts in the nation. We were the closest state in the country to winning, even though Trump campaigned here all the time. The states where Trump won shifted more towards Trump than we did in Wisconsin. And he didn't campaign in a lot of those states. So you can see the impact of the work that all of us did to try to move votes. Now, this isn't horseshoes. It doesn't count if you just get close, although we wouldn't have won the presidential, even if we'd lost Wisconsin. What matters is, did we do things that generated more votes for our side, that helped to shift people over to our side relative to the giant headwinds we faced across the country and that every incumbent government in the world has faced this year? All incumbent governments have lost vote share. And the answer is that what we did in Wisconsin, it did make a difference. Now, we need more. We need to reach more voters who are not hearing from Democrats. We need to bring the kind of intensity and organizing up and down the ballot forward. And also, we should recognize that the work that every volunteer did who knocked on doors in Wisconsin, it helped propel higher turnout, helped to win the U.S. Senate race, helped flip 14 state legislative races. Those things are going to affect people's lives directly, and that is something we can build on.
So which state Democrats carried in November at the presidential level should not be the only measuring stick. Is that right?
The job of the Democratic National Committee is to raise the floor for Democrats up and down the ballot. And we have done that in Wisconsin. It wasn't enough to overcome the intensity of the headwinds in the presidential race. We lost by less than one percentage point. But the critical thing is to look under the hood at whether you're building a party that makes it more possible for Democrats at every level to be able to win. And if we do that, in 2028, we have a chance to win the presidential election, Democratic House and Senate majorities. In 26, we could win a Democratic trifecta in Wisconsin and many other states across the country. If we do this critical work, this early investment, organizing, and communication everywhere starting now.
A question about money. Talk about, please, your ability to raise money for the Democratic Party. Could you duplicate your success in Wisconsin nationwide? Do you have strong enough connections to financially well-off people on the East and West Coast, as well as, you know, getting the $50 donations from the middle-income folks and lower-income folks?
As Democrats, we're up against the wealthiest people in the world pouring unbelievable sums of money into ensuring that Republicans take power who will then make them even richer. And that means it'll take resources to fight back. And we have raised more resources at the Democratic Party of Wisconsin than any other Democratic state party in the country every single cycle that I've been chair. And we've done that by building a full spectrum fundraising operation that unites donors small and large, with grassroots donors, with cultural events like the Princess Bride reading, and with large donations around our strategy to unite, fight, and win everywhere in Wisconsin. I can do the same thing at the Democratic National Committee, and it's urgent that we do, because the stakes are this high. We need folks to support Democrats so that we can fight back and build an economy that works for everyone in this country, not just those at the very, very top.
Another candidate for DNC chair, Ken Martin of Minnesota, recently said he has endorsements from 18 or 20% of DNC voting members. How does that compare with the number you have? I know you've picked up some backing in the last week or so.
I've been thrilled at the support that we've already been able to find. I'm not counting my votes in public as we go. I've seen some of the great vote counters build their support and then share once they have a winning coalition. And I have every confidence that we have a very clear path to doing that. And I'm going to keep having my conversations with DNC members and with friends and allies to build this vision around a party that is ready to fight everywhere.
There's a pretty wide spectrum in the Democratic Party. Are you liberal enough to gain the support of Democrats who still like people like Bernie Sanders?
I come from a background at MoveOn.org and organizing in the progressive movement across the country and growing up in Wisconsin. And I also have learned to build coalitions with folks who may not agree on everything. We're a big tent party where folks can come together around fights that unite us as Democrats. And that will look different in different places. I've been talking to folks in deep red states where different messages work than in blue states and different things than in purple states. And yet for all Democrats, we know that we're the party that wins when we fight for working people, no matter where they live, what they look like, who they love, how they identify. Everyone needs a roof over their heads and food on the table, and everyone wants freedom and dignity and the chance to get ahead. Those values unite Democrats across the spectrum, and those are values that we can put into action in the fights that we fight in the coming years. So that is the work I've done at Move On against the repeal of the Affordable Care Act in Wisconsin to win elections up and down the ballot, and that's what I can do as DNC chair.
Just about done. Which state should hold the first Democratic Party primary in 2028? Do you have an opinion on that, or what sort of criteria would you look at?
The primary calendar for the 28 presidential race is a question that should be determined through a consultative process where DNC members weigh in and we look for the path that helps us to choose a nominee that will win the general election, that honors our coalition, our tradition, our values, and gives an even playing field for candidates to jump in to make a name for themselves and have a shot at winning the nomination. I don't want to put my thumb on the scale in advance. I want to make sure we hear from all the voices of the folks in our community to make the best path forward and then set a nominating calendar that unites the party and sets us up for victory.
Finally, since you announced your candidacy, there was President Biden's pardon of his son, Hunter. I'd like to ask you, please, your opinion on that pardon. And the second part of the question is, how much will that pardon hurt Democratic candidates over the next 4 years?
Donald Trump is entering office with a blanket pledge to pardon the people who tried to overturn the election in 2020, the January 6th insurrectionists, with a FBI director nominee who's planning to weaponize the power of the federal government to go after the political enemies of Donald Trump, including family members of the president. That's the context in which President Biden made his decision, and that will be one of the dominant stories of these next 4 years. I don't think the American people are going to want the government using its power to go after people just because they disagree with the new president of the United States. And my big focus is gearing us up for those fights to come. They want to attack people to enrich their power, to enrich themselves, and we've got to fight back against that.
But will the pardon hurt Democrat candidates?
I think that the news cycles of this moment are going to be a very distant glimmer in the rearview mirror in a moment when Republicans are wreaking havoc across the country in an effort to try to rig the entire country to benefit the ultra, ultra wealthy. Preparing for that fight is my central focus.
Ben Winkler is the Wisconsin chair of the Democratic Committee and a candidate for the chair of the Democratic National Committee. He spoke with WUWM's Chuck Quernbach.
You can find more interviews like this one by visiting WUWM.com/Lake Effect. And while you're there, subscribe to the Lake Effect Spotlight podcast.